You're listening to Special Education Matters, a regular podcast about things that matter in special education. I'm your host, Michael Bohl, and I am the proud father of an 18-year-old boy with autism. This is show number 2 in our beginner's guide to the IEP. You have an IEP scheduled, and you may be thinking to yourself, how do I prepare for this? What should I bring? Who should I bring? How important are donuts? Today, I talk with CSNLG lawyer Linnea Murray about what you can do to be the best prepared IEP attendee ever. Linnea, great to speak with you again. Today, we're going to talk about preparing for an IEP. And one of the first questions I had when I did my first IEP as a parent way back when, my son's quite a bit older, is what should I bring to an IEP as a parent?
Oh, that is a great question. And I will definitely ask you what you did bring, because I'm curious. But I think the important documents to have with you would be any assessments that the school district has done in the past or any you have had done outside of the school, and any notes, work samples that you may have, doctor's notes, anything that you think is really important for the school to access in order to understand your child better. And I think backing up as we talk about preparing for an IEP, mm-hmm. One thing that I really like to do and find effective is to send a meeting agenda in advance,
okay.
2 or 3 days in advance. I like to send a PDF document saying, here's what I, as a family member, am preparing and anticipating will be covered at this IEP meeting. And I put the name of the child, I put the date of the meeting, the times that we expect the meeting to be. So if we've scheduled a 2-hour meeting, I'll put from noon to 2 o'clock so that they remember it's a 2-hour meeting. And then I'll set out an agenda. So it might say something like discuss placement or progress on goals. And then the school where my stepson attends is really great about printing that agenda. Everybody has it in front of them. Sometimes they create their own agenda and send it back, and there's like things added or things removed. And we just kind of have to have a negotiation on what the meeting will be about and mm-hmm. given them time that we have. But that's one thing that I like to do. And then I would bring that along with me as well. So what did you bring when you went to IEPs?
Yeah, I'm embarrassed. All I brought was my wife and I went together, and we just brought a pencil and a notebook. That was about it. Like, it didn't occur to me. We relied on the district for all the assessments and things like this. And this is in the days, I think, before when there was it was less adversarial, at least in the district I was at. It was kind of, we were all on the same team, so it didn't seem to be an issue. So, it seems simple.
That's good. And I think adding a note, some note-taking device.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. And is there a certain way you should set that up or prepare it, or just bring a notebook and a pen and you're fine? Or a laptop or whatever.
Notebook, pen, laptop, those are all great. If you want to record the IEP meeting on your iPhone, you want to give 24-hour written notice to the district. And I say written. I don't think the law requires it to be in writing, mm-hmm. but it's always nice just to have documentation that you gave the district notice, timely notice. So send an email just letting the teacher know, I plan to record the IEP meeting if you want to record the IEP meeting. And it gives the district the time to bring a recording device if they also want to record.
Okay, so I was going to say, should you put that in the – you mentioned the agenda at the beginning. Can you just add that to the bottom and I'll be bringing a recording device?
Yeah, I think that's totally fine. What I often do is I attach the agenda as a PDF to an email, and then in the email I say something like, dear team, I'm really looking forward to the IEP meeting we have on Friday. As a reminder, we record all IEPs as a matter of practice. Looking forward to seeing you, Linnea. So that tends to be the tone. So I'll put it in the body of the email and then attach the agenda.
Is it pretty typical that parents record IEPs? And also, is it worth it? Like, what do you do with a recording? I don't know if I'd want to hear a 2-hour recording again.
Yeah, I think the only need would be if something is very important that was said. And I don't think it's absolutely critical. It might be good just to do it as a matter of practice throughout so that it's not a sign of litigation. Like, there's a point where the school district can tell things are getting a little bit more adversarial, and then suddenly parents start recording, and that's one more layer of the adversarial nature rather than the team nature at an IEP meeting. And so if you do it as a matter of practice, it doesn't seem out of place or, you know, aggressive in any way. And I, you know, to be totally frank, I've not gone back and listened to a lot of 2-hour meetings. There are services you can use to have a transcript made. I've not really worked with those yet. And for me, it is because I haven't had to sue my own school district yet.
Okay.
And so I wonder if there was litigation, if I would want that evidence for a due process hearing. It's much more persuasive when you hear a district rep say, oh, we haven't given any services for 3 years for X, Y, and Z reason, than if you just have mom recounting what happened on that day. So I don't think it's a terrible idea to record it. And I think it's better if you do it as a matter of practice rather than after bad things start happening.
Sure. So that makes a lot of sense. So you're, then you just are the parents that have an agenda and always record. So, you know, whatever, you're just that kind of parent. And I think that sends a signal that you're an organized individual as well. And then, so, you know, you might get a little bit of respect back from the teachers, not necessarily adversarial respect, but just like, oh, this person's organized and ready to go.
Exactly. And I think the districts are used to this also. And they, when we've forgotten recorders, they often they offer to record the meeting and then they send the recording to us. Or occasionally they've asked for our recording. And so I don't think it has caused any issues whatsoever. And then one thing that you also said is districts should provide copies of recent assessments. If you're at a triennial IEP, which is an IEP that happens every 3 years after the big assessments are done again for a child who is already receiving special education, at those IEP meetings, they should bring copies of the assessments for you. You should bring your own if they're outside, or if you want to bring one from 6 years ago and you want to see the difference between this year and 3 years ago or 6 years ago. So I just wanted to throw that in there also.
Sure, sure. All right. So what about like a bringing somebody with you, especially if you're a single parent? Do you have the right, or should you bring a friend or an advocate? And we'll even talk about an attorney. Maybe let's start with friends. Should you bring somebody with you?
I think it's a good idea to bring somebody with you for emotional support. The people who have a place at an IEP meeting are people who can add some information about the child's life. And so you can bring a friend. It's helpful if the person you bring also interacts with the child so that they can add, they can back you up. If you say, well, at home we see this behavior, and the school's like, well, we don't notice that at all. Then if you have maternal grandma there who spends weekends with the kids or someone in that type of role, that can be helpful. And then if it's just a friend for emotional support, that's great too.
Okay. What about, when should you bring like an advocate or even an attorney, do you think?
I think it's a great idea to work with an advocate. We have a fantastic network of advocates that we're constantly working with, and they can be very valuable at IEP meetings because they tend to have a lot of experience going to IEP meetings. And so they're just less emotional for them. Going to an IEP meeting is quite exhausting emotionally. Mm-hmm. To have a room of professionals sit around and talk about your kid and to have to defend what you believe is the right perspective on your child can be very difficult. And so having an advocate who's less emotionally involved come in and say what is needed can be helpful. And advocates are just fantastic people to work with because they're often those who have gone through this for their own child or their own family member. Mm-hmm. And they're very passionate people. So I think it's great if you are able to work with an advocate to bring an advocate with you.
All right.
And it's also great if you don't really like talking at IEP meetings, or if you feel that you do break down a little bit. I know some parents, and there's nothing wrong with crying during an IEP meeting, but they just get so emotional that they're unable to share important information. And an advocate can take on the role of advocate rather than emotional parent and make sure that the important things get said.
Right. I know I bawled at every IEP until about the last 3 years, and my son's 18. So I was the crying father. Which, by the way, works really well. It's better if the dad cries, I think, because then everybody in the room's like, oh, gosh, the dad's crying.
That's serious. Yeah, that's good. I think that's something I'll start advising my clients.
Bring the crying father.
you make a really good point, though. I think if parents are married, then I do think both of them should come. I know this is a really large burden because IEP meetings are frequently held in school hours, and so people have work to go to. But if you are able to have both parents in attendance, I think that's very important for dads not to check out. And I don't say that. There are some moms who check out, but for the most part, I hear from a lot of dads who just say, oh, whatever mom says, she's the one who knows everything about this. I think it's really important for dads to be involved, to go to the IEP meetings and to have a voice and to sit at the table, because they can be really persuasive. I don't know if it's institutional like sexism against moms when moms start crying at IEP meetings or what it is, but having dad there is a very powerful thing.
I know that worked well for us because my wife, Lori, had expertise in one area and I maybe had more in the other, and we could just trade off during the meeting. One could take a break and the other could just listen and the other could be more involved. So yeah, both parents should definitely go whenever possible.
And even in the event that parents have split up, there might be different behaviors in the two separate households.
Right.
And mom can talk about what's happening when the child is at her house, and dad can talk about what happens when the child is at his house. And so I think as much as possible, having both parents present is ideal. If you're a single parent and the other parent isn't around and you're able to bring a grandparent or a friend, that is very helpful too.
Okay, so we talked about parents, advocates, friends, attorney. Would you ever want to bring an attorney to an IEP?
As an attorney, I enjoy going to IEPs. I like them. I am very cooperative and collaborative as a lawyering ideology. That's just the way that I am. And so I don't think it's a terrible idea to have an attorney at an IEP meeting. But a lot of people see this as being very adversarial.
Okay.
So it can cause the school district to bring their attorney. I think it's a good idea if you want to bring an attorney, to give the district notice that you're bringing an attorney. And 4 times out of 5, they will send their attorney to the IEP meeting also. And that changes the tone of the meeting. When that happens, you have the attorneys talking more. The focus becomes more on legal language and liability rather than the child and the child's needs. So there are good reasons not to bring an attorney to an IEP meeting. But that being said, I do like to go. If you have an attorney who you're inviting to an IEP meeting, hopefully they have a collaborative team spirit type attitude and can explain that right in the very beginning. So when I go to IEP meetings for clients, I explain to the team that I am a lawyer, but I'm really not here to be an adversary to anyone. I'm here to be a member of this team and make sure that the kid gets what the kid needs to succeed in school.
I mean, it sounds like you're better off probably with an advocate who's going to know the law, the systems, and how things work, and it'll be less of a negative presence to the tenor of the meeting, perhaps.
I think so. And typically, advocates charge less per hour than attorneys charge. So just financially, having an attorney at an IEP meeting can be very burdensome for families. IEP meetings are not recoverable. So the time the attorneys spend at IEP meetings are not recoverable from the district. So if you sue the district and you have attorney's fees, you can collect most of them, but the time that the attorney spends at the IEP meeting is not recoverable. And so that means that most parents would have to pay out of pocket, and that can be pretty costly. So all around, I think an advocate is the more ideal person. But if you have a friend who is a lawyer and is learning about this area of law and wants to go with you, I don't think it's, you know, it's not a never bring an attorney to an IEP meeting. It's a consider whether an advocate is a better person at this meeting.
Okay, got it. All right, last question. Donuts. Should you bring donuts to the IEP meeting?
Yes, I think you should always bring food with you.
That's a surprising but great answer. And why is that?
It just makes things so much nicer. And like you're the donut family in addition to like the recording family. And that's just a better reputation. So I recommend that people always bring some sort of snack with them to their child's IEP meeting and make sure you bring more than what the IEP team members consist of. So we'll bring like 20 donuts to an IEP meeting, and there's only 8 members on the team that day. And so the remaining donuts go to the admin at the school. It just endears you to the school a little bit. On Friday, I have an IEP for my stepson, and we it's finals here in California. And so they scheduled us to the last day that they possibly could squeeze us in for the school year. And they only had the lunchtime hour available. So I promised we'd bring lunch. And so, like, just knowing that there's going to be food provided, it makes things a little bit easier for the school, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, good idea. Thanks for your information today. So the next show, we're going to talk more about what it's like when you're actually there sitting down during the IEP. Thanks for listening to another edition of Special Education Matters. For more information, including show notes, head to our website, csnlg.com/listen. And if you like what you hear, please consider giving us a review on iTunes. Those reviews bring us lots of happiness. I'm your host, Michael Bull, and we will talk again soon.